You can remain standing. So good to be here with you today to worship together. Pam and I are privileged to be here, join with you. Looking over these requests, there are a number of names that I do not recognize, but there are many that I do. And they're dear friends, and they're your friends, they're my friends, and all of these represent needs that we want to bring to Jesus this morning. There's no better place than to bring our needs, to bring our cares, than to bring them to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So good to see each of you together this morning. Let's lift our hearts to the Lord this morning. Our Father, you found us in the brokenness of sin, the disappointment, the disillusionment of life. Jesus came, looking, searching, seeking the loving Jesus. There was a sheep that had strayed and wandered far from the fold, but the good shepherd came searching and seeking. And I'm here today, many are here today because of the good shepherd, the seeking shepherd, the loving shepherd, Jesus. We bless you this morning. We're grateful that this day has found us in the house of worship with dear friends. We look across this list of needs and we want to lift them to you. Many, some that we don't know, but you know each of them by name. You know all of their situations. You know their circumstances right now. And we bring them to Jesus. Their physical needs represented by this list, and we bring them to Jesus. We pray for these that are in military that you'll protect them and guard them and guide them and help them today. We pray for Steve Jarvis, our dear brother, as he runs for office. I pray that you'll give him good success in answer to prayer. I pray that you'll help him in a special way. Wendy as well, bless them. Have your way with our pastor that's away this morning. I pray you'll bless Brother Jonathan in a special way. Emily, touch them, Jesus. Encourage them. They're weary. They've served you faithfully this week, Youth Challenge. And I pray that you'll refresh them and renew them and encourage their hearts. Pray that you'll have your way with our hearts together here this morning. Remainder of this service, all that's said and done, everything said and done would bring glory and honor and praise to Jesus. And we'll just be careful to give you praise for any good that's accomplished ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. Amen. A few quick announcements that I want to make you aware of this morning. This Friday, November 2nd, I know we were just at Youth Challenge, but this Friday, we're going to have some fun with the youth, and that'll be in the Youth Center at 6 p.m., a game night, all right? So young people, don't forget that. I'll be telling you more about that Wednesday night, but just a quick reminder on that. This Saturday as well, we're doing another outreach blitz in the community. And there are different ones of you I've already talked with, and we had six teams that went out. Not 16, sorry, but six teams that went out. And a great group went out. And if you want to be a part of that, maybe you've never been out in the community just praying, encouraging people before, that's okay. Come at 2:45, we'll do a little bit of training, we'll go from there, and it'll be a great time. And then finally, I need to meet with anybody who went to Youth Challenge this past weekend after the service this morning, if you could, just for a quick period of time and work out a few last-minute things with tonight. Tonight's going to be a Youth Challenge recap service, so you don't want to miss that. That'll be neat. We'll be sharing about some things we've learned and what God's shown us and a little bit of recap from that. But the ushers are coming at this time, and are going to take the morning offering. And I just want to say a special welcome to you. If you have not been here before, a special welcome to you. Maybe you haven't been here in a while. We're just excited you're here. And of course, you regulars, you guys are just great as well. And gentlemen, pass the plates. Thank you for giving this morning. and for the upbuilding of his kingdom. I was about ready to get up and lead that this morning, but thank God. Let's sing that this morning. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Couldn't help think about this weekend and Youth Challenge. The theme was peace. And this song reminded me of the peace that I have as I sat there this morning. Just thank God for peace this morning that can be in our hearts through Christ. Amen. At this time, we have a special by the Miller Sisters. Let's continue in worship as they come.
Dark.
thankful your Heavenly Father watches over you this morning. Amen. Praise God, Dempsey. Amen. Amen. Anybody else this morning have a testimony? Just a word of praise to God? Anybody else this morning? Well, I'm thankful this morning for His presence, and even though probably a quarter of you are bleary, God has come, and we've just been worshiping God. And this morning, I'm also excited to be able to introduce to you a previous pastor of Faith Chapel. And about 6 months ago, I introduced Brother Joe Smith, and now I get to introduce Brother Pat Davis. This is just a privilege and an honor. And we want to actually give him a warm welcome as he comes back, but we also want to give him a gift. Now, this pales in comparison, Brother Pat. This pales the amount of service and the love that you've shown Faith Chapel. We want to give you guys a t-shirt, a JTB t-shirt that you guys can wear, and a couple for you both. And just, it's small, but just a gift to say thank you, and maybe even help promote Faith Chapel. I don't know, but we love them. Give him a warm welcome. He comes back and just shares from his heart this morning. We're excited they're here. Amen.
Well, I'm offended already. Small shirt. Is that what he said? Something small. Oh, well, it doesn't help that I've known him since he was not, well, yeah, he was able to walk. Well, good morning. What a joy, what a delight for us to be back here together with you. Pastor Heath texted me last Sunday night and said, help. He had another service that had something scheduled, and that didn't work out. And I cannot begin to tell you how grateful I am to be a backup this morning. Just so good to be here with you. And I did not expect to see you back here, but I certainly forgot about you being here. Jordan Turner holds the record of the number of pork chops eaten in the Davis household across 30-some years. And it's not fair. It's always the skinny guys that can just lay out the food. But what a joy to be with you. I'm going to invite you to stand together with me. A number of other friends here. So good to see you. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I hope you're having a good day. I'd like to share something with you, and this is true. I promise you this is true. This happened this week down in Charlotte. There's a precious African-American couple, older couple, been together all of life's journey, did everything together, shared much of life together, just everything, and came down to the end, and he passed away this week. And the wife was in the household restroom getting ready, and she hollered out to her daughter Janice and said, Janice, something's not right, my teeth don't fit right, something's not right. Little did she know that the folks from the funeral home had come to collect her husband's teeth, and they got the wrong ones. Now, I'm not sure how far down the teeth went with him, you know, at the funeral. I don't know if she was able to recover them or not, but I want you to do two things. I want the husbands and wives, I want you to look at each other and say, do you have my teeth? And the other thing I want you to do, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm having a pretty good day. I'm having a pretty good day. Second Chronicles 20. I'm just going to read just a portion of this verse, and we're going to dig into it. I hope you have your Bibles. We're going to dig into this passage, beautiful passage from God's Word. I'm going to read from the ESV, English Standard Version. I trust it. This verse, verse 12, 2 Chronicles 20:12, prayer of Jehoshaphat. He says, "We are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord." We really don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Brother Tim Carter, if you would please pray for me this morning. Yes, Jesus. Jesus. Precious Jesus. Be seated. I've had a deep appreciation for the kings of the Old Testament since nearly the beginning of my Christian life over 35 years ago. I'll never forget in Bible college taking a class in Old Testament survey on the kings. And I'm looking for, is Cindy here? Cindy or Bruce, are they gone? Anybody from Hobe Sound would remember the king's test in Old Testament survey. I loved that class so much. It was Dr. Alan Brown's class at Hobe Sound. I loved that class so much that I took it twice. If you're going to study a great godly Old Testament king, then you will want to look at the life of Jehoshaphat. Wow. He was the son of godly Asa. He ruled over Judah. Turn with me back a couple of chapters, 2 Chronicles chapter 17. I want you just to follow down through there as I'm reading off some of his accomplishments in 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Some incredible accomplishments. He fortified the cities of Judah to make them more protected, i.e. border protection. Moving right along. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat, it says. He did not seek the gods of Baal, but sought God and walked in his commandments, 2 Chronicles 17 tells us. He was a man that had great riches and honor. His heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. As you read down through chapter 17, you'll find that he sent out 16 priests that went all through the land of Judah in Israel and taught the people, went from city to city teaching the law of God. Wow, what a heart for God and his commandments. He removed idolatrous practice from the land. Surrounding enemy countries sent gifts to honor him. He marshaled an elite army of over 1 million soldiers. The only flaw in his life came as a result of his great diplomatic skill when he made some alliances with some evil enemy leaders in surrounding countries, and it ended up getting him in trouble with the Lord. But outside of that, the only thing that I can say about the life of Jehoshaphat is, wow, what an incredible life. But ladies and gentlemen, if I had a title for this message, I've never preached this before, it's brand new truth to me, and I'm going to ask several of you out to this congregation, if you would, just to pray for me through this service today. I've never preached this message, brand new to me, and I need the Lord's help. If I had a title for this message today, it would be simply this: Your Finest Hour. your finest hour. As we look over these list of accomplishments from the life of Jehoshaphat, I'm going to tell you that that was not his finest hour just because of those lists of accomplishments. Historians tell us that his finest hour came later in his reign when he was threatened with invasion in 2 Chronicles 20. I want to leave you this morning with three key truths that will define your finest hour. Truth number one is this: your finest hour comes when you are faced with overwhelming circumstances. Look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verses 1 and 2 says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon with them, other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, in Yes, which is in Jedi." Sorry, my Hebrew is too long gone. I'm not even going to bother to try to pronounce that. I'll leave Nate Becker to do that. So, all those great accomplishments, that great list of successes, they now pale in comparison. A great, great multitude, a horde of enemies coming from a far distant country and far distant lands. And they're going to destroy you. They're going to destroy your people. When you read in the Bible, like we have in the opening of this chapter that says these words, "And it came to pass after these things," my mind's curious enough, Brother Kenneth, I'm going to ask, well, what are these things? What were these things? Well, I told you about 2 Chronicles 17, quite an incredible list. Well, if you flipped back even one chapter, there's even more in 2 Chronicles 19. I'm telling you, this man was incredible. He was an incredible king. But none of that, none of those successes did not define his finest hour. We're about to see his finest hour. God has helped Jehoshaphat up to this hour, but he's about to face the prospects of being totally overrun and his nation destroyed. It's pretty bleak. It's pretty bleak. You can sit down and look back, and some of you may not have to look too far to see some great things that you've done. You can look back and see some great accomplishments. But I'm here to tell you this Sunday morning that you may not be at your finest hour yet. What I don't see in the Word of God here with Jehoshaphat is what he didn't say. I like what he didn't say. I do not see in this text something like this, possible responses that he could have made to God. He could have said, "This isn't fair. I deserve better than this." He could have said, "Look at all I've done for you and for your people, and this is what I get in return." I don't see that. It's not there. He could have said, "Why are you allowing this to happen to me, to happen to us?" Can I be just real honest with you? You know me. I'm a pretty practical guy. It's got to be right where I can lay my hands on it and walk with it and live in it, or it's not worth anything. I've walked in some of these circumstances. And I want to thank Sister Susie. She keeps us updated with some of the circumstances that some of you have faced. Some of you have faced some pretty difficult challenges across the last few years. One of you needs to stay off the roof. Good grief. Your grandpa tried to get me on the roof a couple of weeks ago. I got so far up that my world started spinning and I said, "Nope, I'm checking out." Buck, buck, buck. Down the ladder I went. smartest decision I made that day. You've been in some pretty tough situations. I'm looking at some people that have been through some difficult circumstances. And you've held steady, and God's helped you. And can I tell you that in those moments when you've held steady, it's been your finest hour. With your kids looking on, and your friends looking on, your neighbors looking on, it's been your finest hour because you've just held steady. You've just held steady. You've just held steady. A dear friend of mine was walking through some very difficult transitions not too long ago. We've been very close. If I mentioned his name, many of you would know. He shared a book with me that helped me through some difficult circumstances that I've faced. It's by an author that I honestly really don't know that much about. I typically don't recommend a book unless I really, really know the author. And you're not going to agree with everything, but listen to me. If you're going through a difficult time right now, if you're right in the midst of some difficult circumstances right now, and you cannot see your way through where you're at right now, you need to get this book. I believe it'll help you. It's called The Land Between, Finding God in Difficult Transition by Pastor Jeff Manton. He speaks to the brokenness experienced by Christians facing overwhelming life challenges. He'd been a pastor for a long time, got a lot of very helpful and encouraging scenarios and truths from God's Word. But he made this statement that stood out to me. He said, I firmly believe that the land, by the way, I've never heard it called the land between, but that's exactly what it is. It's a land between. He says, I firmly believe that the land between, that space where we feel lost or lonely or deeply hurt, is fertile ground for our spiritual transformation and for God's grace to be revealed in magnificent ways. He goes on, he says, the land between is prime real estate for faith transformation. But listen, it is also the space where we can grow resentful, bitter, and caustic if our responses are unguarded. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Is this true? Susie Kratz, am I telling the truth? I'm being straight up with you. Life's tough. There's some difficult circumstances. But I got a God, I know a God that can make it so that it can be your finest hour right in the midst of those circumstances. Mark it down. Life will be a mix of great triumphs and great tests. If you're just starting out in your Christian journey, or if you've been on this road for a long time, you know what I'm saying is true. There's a balance of great triumphs. There's great things. Life's great. It's short. I'm going to have a blast. But there's also some great tests that will come. Those of you that have known me know that one of my favorite hymns is an old favorite of mine. It's called Day by Day. The first stanza goes something like this, and no, I'm not about to sing it. Thank you very much. That's the other thing you know about me. I don't even sing in the shower. It's not safe. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, now listen, listen. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Mark it down. Tests often come on the heels of great victories. Just as soon as you think you've whipped something, look out. Keep your eyes open. Better stay in tune. Your next test is on the way. And God uses them to keep us humble, doesn't he? Keep us in tune with him. And thirdly, God allows the test to strengthen you, not destroy you. Now, I'm looking at somebody here this morning that thinks perhaps walked in this church, this building today, and you think, I believe God's just going to kill me. I don't know that I can handle this. Can I tell you, you can't. You can't, but God can. You can't, but he can. Pam recently got a job just down the hill from where we live there in the little burg of Spring Grove in Pennsylvania. And she's working at a little church, a nice church just down the road. We attend the York Bible Methodist Church with Jeffrey's parents, known them for years. But Pam's working Monday through Thursday, church just down the hill. Danielle came in the other day, and she met Danielle, and Danielle volunteers at the church there, and she was helping folding bulletins, I don't know, just something, just to help out. I don't know, Pam, how old she would be. She maybe in her 40s, 41, she said. Leave it to Pam. She knows exact things like that. Isn't that right? His former secretary. She comes in, sits down, starts helping folding bulletins. Pam gets to know her, gets to talking to her, just as a common person, but not so common. I haven't met Danielle, but she grew up in a Catholic church, married into an evangelical Christian home. She's now divorced and has a special needs daughter. I think she has two kids, but one special needs daughter. She lives in a low-income government housing neighborhood. She does before and after school care for a living. Listen to this. She gets up at 4:30 every morning. You say, why in the world would you get up at 4:30 in the morning unless you work for Jeff Paulus? She cares.